Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Congratulations, baby. Almost messed this up. Hold on,
Joe. Messed
all this juju up. Luckily for you that old Clint and Show have the
O-L-E. O-L-E. Get the D out of there. Old Dirty.
Old Dirty. Old Dirty. Old Dirty. Do how I want to. Old Dirty and Clint and Show and all three of us have. I've just messed this all up from the top, so let's just get to it. Yordan Alvarez is out with health and safety protocols. Dusty Baker, the manager, spoke with the media earlier, and he gives a lot more detail to this, folks.
Is Alvarez healthy?
No, that's he's out for health and safety reasons, and hopefully we'll know more later. That's all I can tell you. I mean, it could be nothing. Yeah, it could be nothing. You know, whenever everybody gets alarmed now, when you sneeze, when you cough, if you got an upset stomach, if you got diarrhea, it don't matter. I mean, everything is very concerning in these modern times. So we just hope that it's not.
All right, including the diarrhea, everything is
diarrhea.
Dusty,
grave concern. But
we ain't trying to hear all that.
We'll see. He said it could be nothing or not. We'll see. But Alvarez, who just came off of it. Last week is back with health and safety protocol reasons.
We just can't have nice things around here, man.
Really,
just, I mean, in 2020 and 2021, we just can't have nice things around here. We got everything going on with the Rockets, absolute mess show, and then the Texans, they ain't any better. Astros appear to, when they get healthy, they hit stride, and you see some really good flashes of what could be a fun season to watch unfold. But, man, COVID-19 takes out 4 or 5 players.
The virus. Right?
I mean, golly.
Altuve missed 13 days. And
then, yeah.
And really important pieces.
Yeah.
Alvarez, Bregman.
Right.
Altuve.
They finally get back to full health for, a couple game stretch there. And you see that light at the end of the tunnel again. And next thing you know, Yordan Alvarez is rooster tailing all over the clubhouse.
Diarrhea.
Is that another form of diarrhea? I've never in my life heard rooster. Never. Have you?
Yes, but from Clint.
You've never rooster tail?
I have never. I'm sure I have, whatever it is.
But curry dogging.
Of course, but I've just never heard it phrased.
Yeah. Diarrhea.
In that form.
I got an old buddy of mine that makes the old duck hunting. The old rooster tail is
rooster tail? Oh.
Yeah. Long night, up early duck hunting.
Yeah, I'll remember. I'll pencil that in.
Old rooster tail.
It's first I've heard of it. And as you're saying, man, with the performance, as I move on past.
He just shifted gears.
As you're saying, with the performance last night, especially seeing how this starting pitching is going, and Christian Javier was dominant last night, it's even tougher because they are hitting their stride. Winners of 5 of 6, 2 back now in the A's, and you have this setback. But hopefully the pitching staff can continue to do what they're doing, because Christian Javier is pitching at an all-star level, and you got Greinke tonight.
Yeah, you got Greinke tonight, who's been steady Eddie, and then you hope McCullers can come around. He's got the ability to be special. He's got to get there and maintain it over a period of time. And before I think ultimately, before the coaches have a whole hell of a lot of confidence in what they're going to get when he's on the mound. So. Obviously, really electric. You got one of the young arms that has the ability to be special. Boy, is he ever special in Christian Javier. And
spilling coffee on himself and still getting it done.
I loved it. Did you see the video of him spilling coffee on himself? Right before the game, beautiful white uni. Astros unis are solid, by the way.
Did he just forget it was in his glove or something? My man, it looked like
he said he just forgot about it and he was going to do his little prayer or whatever as he walked onto the field. And turned his glove up and spilled it on him.
I think he cussed before he did his. I think the way he looked when he walked, he said, damn. He did something when you spill something on yourself and you to look around behind you.
Make sure nobody watching.
Or to see it, or as if somebody else did it to you, the way he did it. Damn.
Yeah. Nah, he was cool, calm, and collected. Just went on about his business, man. But
I'd have had a change.
Yeah, that was a nah. You had a change.
Yeah, I heard Dusty. Dusty was saying we told him we offered him to change his clothes, but he didn't.
Nah, man, go on out there. He got ice water in his veins, man. Okay. He just went on out there and did his thing. It was beautiful.
This is national TV, especially the performance he put on. You know, he was on SportsCenter all night. Yeah. I got to look clean now. Everybody looking at that ain't no slide. That ain't dirt. That's what people looking at. That ain't dirt. Spreading and stuff. Get your Tide stick or something.
Now, you go out there and pitch like that, I don't give a damn what you do.
That's probably more accurate. But you know me, I got to change. I got to look right.
Diarrhea.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, the draft is tomorrow, and the quarterbacks are the big story, and already movement being made in that area in the league. There was a trade today. The Panthers, they finally get rid of Teddy Bridgewater. They trade him to the Denver Broncos for a 6th-round pick, according to Tom Pelissero of NFL Network. The Panthers are going to be paying $7 million, and the Broncos will be paying the other $3 million in this deal. But also reports are saying that it does not mean that Denver is out of the quarterback market for the draft tomorrow.
Folks, Teddy Bridgewater, get this, $31 million from Carolina to start 15 games. All based off of his return in New Orleans. He won 5 games. And he made $31 million. And think about that, too.
They're out that quick.
That's it. Think about where Drew Lock is. Drew Lock is in a position where he's been handed the keys to an offense that's got as many weapons as there is out there, right? I mean, he's got K.J. Hamler, Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton. Courtland got hurt. Noah Fant. Melvin Gordon now is a running back.
Good offensive line that's improving.
Yeah, he's been handed the keys.
That's what Mark Schlaer says. And I'll just go with it.
And I'll be damned if they don't bring in Teddy Bridgewater to take your job. Boy, it's a
and they're going to pay him.
Big time
and
awakening.
Potentially major. You think they're out, though? You think they're still sitting there at 9? You know, Justin Fields or Trey Lance or Mac Jones could drop. You think they would still pull the trigger on a quarterback?
No.
You don't think so?
No, I do.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Well, I mean, it'd be sitting now if they could somehow trade.
Yeah, they'd have to get rid of one of them, and that one would be.
They got
to
do something, right? I mean, you can't have those two quarterbacks and then draft another one in the top 10. I mean, I guess.
Yeah, I think they
got him. They got him. They got Teddy Bridgewater for $3 million.
Yeah,
I mean Carolina paid the other $7 million.
Yeah, and Drew Lock is just a second round pick, so he's not making.
Yeah, he's
huge money.
I guess they could. It wouldn't make a whole lot of sense.
I think they would get rid of Drew Lock. I think they would then probably turn around and move Drew Lock.
Well, I can't believe they're ready to quit on Drew Lock.
You wouldn't be ready. Is Teddy?
I would have never gave him the keys so quickly.
Is Teddy an upgrade over Drew Lock?
No,
I think he is. You don't think he's an upgrade over Drew Lock?
I mean, I think we're splitting hairs in a sense of is he better in certain categories? Maybe, but is he gonna take him to the playoffs and give him a chance to win a Super Bowl? No.
They won 5 games last year. Now Von Miller was injured the whole way, and that's pretty important.
Courtland Sutton got injured.
Yeah, that's pretty important. I look at that. I feel like Teddy Bridgewater can get them into the 8-win range, help them.
Oh,
get,
yeah, damn.
They're not going to turn the ball. I mean, Drew was. As you said, he does some things to take you off.
No, yeah, that's the thing with Drew is like I think Drew's probably wore out his welcome really quick in Denver, especially
and Vic,
with
and Vic Fangio can't play around with it. His job's on the line, and he wants somebody.
You got Elway as a damn or had Elway as a GM, and you got Fangio as a defensive minded head coach. They ain't dealing with a quarterback turning the football over, being careless with it, making ill advised throws. They're not going to deal with that very long.
And Vic's going to get fired if he doesn't win this year.
He should, as well. He should, yeah. Yes.
We'll see. We'll see. You would think maybe they're thinking an upgrade, and I don't know. We'll see what the Broncos are going to do.
5 o'clock fire.
More news out of the NFL. Antonio Brown, Clint, signed him a 1-year deal with the Bucs worth up to $6.25 million with a signing bonus just over $3 million or fully guaranteed over $3 million, signing bonus at $2 million. This is the crazy part. They bring Antonio Brown back, but now the Bucs have brought back all 22 starters, all 22 starters off their Super Bowl team, only team in the salary cap era to ever do that. Also, they bring back both their coordinators. So they won a Super Bowl. They have coordinators. None of them got plucked to be head coaches. and none of their starters are gone.
How about that? How about you got – that's the Tampa Bay Bucks. They return all 22 starters after dominating in the Super Bowl. And you got Kansas City in the AFC that represented the AFC in the Super Bowl. And I mean, they've upgraded. If you look at all 22, they're 22 starters, 11 on offense, 11 on defense. They've not lost a step at any one of the 22 positions, and they've upgraded, I know, at least three on the offensive line.
Yeah, and
four, if you count, they're getting the doctor back.
Yeah, we'll see if he even plays. Yeah, we'll see if he plays. But they went and got Chris Long,
yes,
at guard. They got Tooney, obviously, at guard. They paid big money for, and then they just traded for Zeus Brown, Orlando Brown.
Yeah, so you can say that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the team that won the Super Bowl, they stayed the same. All 22 starters back. And you can say Kansas City has upgraded significantly, given that they improved the one major problem on their roster, which is the offensive line. I mean, if you ain't getting better right now, it's good gosh, the gap between those two teams and the majority of the rest of the NFL is big.
This Antonio Brown contract is interesting to me because I can't wait to see what he's like in year two. Last year, didn't have a lot of options. Tom is my guy. He did not put up any. He didn't give no act. He was good. No problem. Let's see what he gets like in year two. He didn't win a Super Bowl, got a contract. Let's see if he's good with these 40 catches.
You think some of that old AB is going to come out?
I'm just saying. You think right now, I mean, them stripes ain't going to change. That dude is still in there. You think for a second that he believes that Chris Godwin and Mike Evans should be – he believes they should be the targets over him. Last year he let it go. We'll see. I just can't wait to see what kind of work Tom's got.
Well, this is what's going to get him – the part that's going to get him worked up is that last year he let it go and made a little bread.
Won a Super Bowl.
Won a Super Bowl, made some money, had 45 catches, you said.
Yeah, he just had to keep it down. Just keep his head low.
Well, now, I mean, the problem now, and I think it's a legitimate conversation, when you talk about the Bucs and you talk about their receiving core, you immediately go to – when you get to AB, you say, does AB have anything left in the tank? Is AB still the AB that was in Pittsburgh? But no, he is hearing it, and that's what's going to stir him up.
And then I'm not getting the ball?
They ain't giving me a chance?
AB doesn't give – the AB that we remember doesn't give a rip if they're winning or losing.
Doesn't matter.
He's not getting that bad.
Doesn't matter. Isn't even one that had the fur coat on the sideline?
Yeah, we've seen him.
Trench coat, all the way to the ankles, even though it's not very far for him, by the way. Short guy, little guy.
We've seen him lose it winning. Like, they're winning games, and he's kicking over things because that ball's not coming his way.
Yep.
So we'll be interested to see. What the hell's going on these roads out here?
Chief, I just looked on social media.
You might want to listen to this, Sleazy.
I just looked on social media, and I'll be damned if there ain't a cow on I-10 blocking traffic at the I-10 Beltway 8 corridor.
Mm.
Now, for everybody out there, it's been clear. I've saw the pictures. It did happen.
Mm.
I've been told. There you go. You got a little growl in that
little
move,
angry
man.
Cow.
He ain't been around many cows. That cow's pissed off.
That's a pissed off cow. Man.
There's cow's a cow in I-10. Now, if you're out there driving and you hear that, don't panic. Apparently, I've got a report. The cow is off of I-10. Everything's clear. You're good to go. But in the meantime, I decided I put it out there. Well, I guess I'll just take 225 around the south side. I'm over the Fred Hartman Bridge, be in Baytown. Boom. I live on the water out there anyway. It'd be a good idea. No, there's a big alligator on the Fred Hartman Bridge that's got traffic backed up on the bridge. I mean, what are the odds of that? Same day.
Cow and alligator.
What the hell is going on?
Is that your move right there?
That's
for real?
Move right
that's
there.
You got three little kids. That's the best move
I'm
you got.
I'm an angry cow. Take my damn wrist.
Boy, right. That's a good one.
It's not bad.
That's
that
nice.
That's
a nice stress-free, plenty of grass to eat cow right there. I don't know.
They don't give me no food. I got a cow. Got a long crack. It's not happy.
long chap crack. It's
we
about
know,
110 out here.
We know who's going to be the first and probably know who's going to be the second pick in the draft. The confusion is who's going to be number three. Uh-oh. I think we may know who it will be. Kyle Shanahan did messed up. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
So we got a pretty good idea who's going to be the number one pick. And Clint's in denial, but most everyone has a pretty good idea who's going to be the number two pick. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence to the Jags. And I'm 97% sure that it will be Zach Wilson to the Jets.
You're giving me three, huh? 3%.
Yeah, three, you never know.
I'll take it.
But because the Robert Saleh could come in and just say, nah, I won't. I won't Justin Fields. But the number three pick is where it gets interesting. The number three pick is where a lot of things happen and a lot of teams around the league that are going to look to try to see who is left and what players are going to be there. And we know, right, we're sure the Niners moved up, gave up three draft picks. They're going to come up to get a quarterback, right? They're not coming up to get.
You would think so.
A tight end or Kyle Pitts. Maybe they really love Kyle Pitts and they want to pair him.
Kyle Pitts and Kittle would be monstrous.
They like Chase. I don't know. Wow. But we would imagine, we think they're going to go up to get
a. Chase would be good too. But
we think we're going to go up. They're going to go up to get a quarterback. And they've been, apparently by reports, indecisive. They don't know. All the way up until this week, they didn't know where they were going to go. Well, Kyle Shanahan, the head coach and a decision maker for the Niners. See, he got to talking about something else, Clint. He got to talking
about the
running game. And when he started talking, he slipped himself into talking about and giving you a clue on what type of quarterback it seems like he would like to have.
No, there isn't anything to figure out. It's a very sound scheme. It's how do you want to attack it? What do you want to do off of it? When they 100% commit to stop it, which you can, but that opens up everything else. So what do you do to scare them out of everything else? Is your quarterback good enough at running with the football to make them commit to stop it? And once they do, is he good enough to make the passes that he has to that they just opened up? And if he is, that's a huge issue. It's tough to find always that guy. And if you don't protect him right and you don't do the right stuff, it is tough to stay healthy. People talk about that 2012 year, but I mean, our running game was 70% outside zone. It was 1/3 zone read, but everyone was scared of it. So they played for it every play, which is why Alfred Morris led the league in rushing, or it was because of the threat of zone read, which allows you to do a ton of other stuff. That doesn't mean you have to, it's not your base offense, but if you're in pistol or shotgun, you can run it at any time. And defenses have been playing 11 against 10 for so long, and now all of a sudden you have to play 11 on 11, and if you're not, it changes everything you do.
Clint, it sure as hell sounds like he explained the type of quarterback that he'd like to have in his system. And there's one player in particular that doesn't seem to fit that could be there for them to draft at number three.
I do not listen to most draft talk about quarterbacks. But when I hear the coach himself.
The decision maker.
The offensive-minded head coach. The one of the best play callers. Damn sure one of the best run play callers and designers in the game. When I hear him saying things like, is your quarterback good enough to run it, he's saying. If he is, it's a huge issue. Everyone was scared of it in 2012, so they played for it. The threat of it allowed you to do a ton of other stuff. I've never heard a play caller, a decision maker, feel that way about a particular concept that is a major part of his offense. Trade up to number three to pick a quarterback that doesn't pose those kinds of threats, that doesn't have the skill set to do those kinds of things. Because what he's referring to, he actually mentioned the 2012 season. And for all my Baylor Bear fans out there, you'll remember RG3 had a monster year, magical year before being injured, I believe, in week 16. He had a magical year, and a lot of it was the zone read. Just like you watched here, all the Houston fans, you watch Kubiak run the zone read. I'm sorry, the zone, wide zone with Arian Foster, our guy Wade Smith, and all. That style, if you think back to what they did there, that wide zone, run it drift to the sideline, and then when Arian Foster would see a crack, he'd put his foot in the line in the ground and he'd get north. That's wide zone. You can run inside zone, you can run several different zone concepts. But that zone concept is a major, major – it's the most important part of Shanahan offense or a Kubiak offense. Most important part, biggest staple in that offense, right? Well, in today's game, and if you've got a quarterback that can do it, you act as if you're going to hand the ball to Arian Foster, right? And the whole offensive line runs the play. And if you got an athletic quarterback in the backside end that's unaccounted for, if he collapses real hard, the quarterback can pull it and keep it out the back gate to run with it. Schaub never did it, right? The Texans didn't have an athletic quarterback that could do it. It's another component to their offense that puts it over the top. You just heard Shanahan himself say the threat of it allows you to do so many other things, a ton of other stuff, I think is how he put it. In that year in 2012, RG3's magical year, he had 800-plus yards rushing, right? Alfred Morris had 1,600. Is that right? 1,600-plus yards rushing that year. That offense was legit. And when I hear Kyle Shanahan make those kind of comments, it's very difficult for me, if I take my opinion completely out of it and what I think of other quarterbacks, take all that out, and I hear a coach that has the ability to make the decisions, that's the head coach and offensive play caller, say those things, there ain't no way in hell I can arrive at a place where, yeah, you make all those trades, give up all that draft capital to move up to number three and pick a guy that doesn't do that for you.
That doesn't come – like Mac Jones, that's just not what he's doing. He's not giving you making teams have to defend 11-on-11. That's not what – and that's what he just said. He's Mac Jones – is not doing that at all. And you could just hear him talk about the RG3 season. He saw it. He saw how great it could be.
No question.
He wants it again.
And here there's no doubt about that. You got to believe he does. Because if you really look at what San Francisco was able to do when they did make the run to the playoffs, to the Super Bowl, and you can even take Kyle Shanahan, his Atlanta years in the mix. When he was in Atlanta – they were really good offensively. Matt Ryan, I believe, is the year he won the MVP.
They won the MVP.
But late in that game, they didn't have the ability to run the football, right? And they had to throw it, and they shouldn't have thrown it. And they gave New England the opportunity to come back, okay? Now, regardless of why, I'm sure we can dissect that game and figure out several reasons why they didn't run it other than they didn't have a running quarterback.
And they were good running teams, but when they ran it, and when you're good defenses, like in good defensive players like Belichick and the Chiefs had, they know where you're running. Nobody was in there thinking Jimmy or Matt Ryan were going to – take the ball and run to the outside.
It's an added dynamic. I think it's safe to say that in the year when San Francisco went to the Super Bowl recently, had a really, really, really good defense, a really, really, really good run game. If there was a suspect spot, it was throwing the football. Like when you had to throw the football, not when it was a counterpunch to your run game and you were running the ball so well that the other stuff was there. But when you were put in a position that you knew you had to throw the football, and everybody in America knew that was watching the game knew you had to throw the football, it was a problem, right? Not that a mobile quarterback would immediately be able to do those things better, but a mobile quarterback would give you an added dimension in the run game. And you just heard from the horse's mouth, from Kyle Shanahan's mouth, you just heard how big of a deal that is for a play caller and for an offense. Again, I just can't see how a man says that right there and then has the opportunity to go get a guy that can bring that to the table and says
it has guys up there.
Yeah. Yeah,
right? Justin Fields, like when you hear him say that, when they do the pro day and you see Justin Fields runs a 4.4 and now you've also watched him on tape and be able to run and not, okay, people say, well, he played in the Big Ten. All right, well, he ran against Northwestern. He ran against Maryland. He ran against Michigan. He ran against Clemson. He ran the ball and had success running against everybody over the last year and a half. You got to see it against high competition. You're going to take Mac Jones?
Yep.
I mean, they very well might, but they won't make – I mean, they don't make sense.
Yeah, right look, I mean, that,
like
that
I
is –
like I said, you had RG3. You know how much easier life was made in the passing game and in the running game. Your offensive line didn't have to be perfect with its blocks. You saw how that could be. I got to believe, God, I'm itching to get back to that.
No question. I mean, I just, and again, that's not my opinion. That's what the hell you just heard from the horse's mouth.
I mean, is your quarterback good enough? Can he play 11-on-11? That does not sound like Mac Jones. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Maybe he gave a little glimpse. Maybe he opened the door to letting everybody know who he's taking. At the very least, it sounds closer to Trey Lance than it does Mac Jones. All right, the Texans seem to be trading or seem to going to be drafting at pick 67. Is there still potential with 24 hours left? Is there still potential that they could get a deal done with Deshaun Watson? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, Clint. Here, let's let the people hear it. All right. Yesterday, John McClain, who you'll hear Friday right here on Clint Sterner in the show, 4 o'clock hour, he was he wrote a piece where he said, yeah, there were eight teams that were very interested in Deshaun Watson before the allegations. My first thought when I saw it was, there's only eight teams? You only had eight?
Okay,
calm down. All right, the eight teams that John had, Clint, he said these were teams that were looking at really showing interest in him, and that was the New York Jets, the Miami Dolphins, the Carolina Panthers, the Denver Broncos, the San Francisco 49ers, the New England Patriots, Chicago Bears, and then there's Washington. Those were the eight teams, okay? Eight teams. We've got about 24 hours until the draft starts. We knew there was major interest before. There's probably still some interest now. Clint, do you foresee any way that before the draft, lightning happens, something crazy happens, at that one of those teams or any, maybe even a team that we didn't mention, would look and try to get on the phone to get a deal done with Deshaun Watson?
Is it likely? Hell no. Is there any chance, like the smallest percentage of a chance? Yeah. I mean, you look at all of the, there's too many teams that don't have their answer at quarterback that are just simply in that group that you just mentioned. There are too many teams in that group that are either in a position draft capital wise to make a move for a quarterback that they would never be able to make a move for in future years. Or a handful of those teams you mentioned are ready to win right now. Miami, San Francisco, I'd say Chicago, maybe Denver. You know, there's several of those teams that are ready to win right now. If you plug Deshaun Watson in, they are immediately deep running a playoff type of contention, if not contending for the championship. You know, those are all very, very appealing things that are out there that are going to be discussed over the next 24 hours. And I know people sit around and talk about, well, you know, it would be crazy, man. All of these allegations and all these legal issues. I agree. I said it's more than likely not going to happen. But is there, if you're asking me, there any single chance? Yeah, there's a chance. I don't think that this league or the teams individually view this matter as big an obstacle to overcome as I think we do personally for Deshaun Watson. And I'm just here to tell you, my man's 25 years old. My man is as good as there is in the league playing that position, and immediately put you in position to not either immediately or at some point pretty quickly be a serious contender. And that's a powerful, powerful combination. I know we're up against it with 24 hours. We said from the jump that if there were ever going to be a trade before the allegations, it would happen right now. It would happen today. It would happen right tomorrow, right? So it's not like we're going, well, they're going to all of a sudden just dream it up and get this trade done overnight here. If there's been some things in the works over the last couple of months and one or more teams has stayed interested, they could very easily decide to pull the trigger tomorrow.
Yeah,
I don't think it's completely out of possibility.
Yeah, I think it's dead, and I think a big reason why is, man, I just wonder what kind of offer with these teams, like, because I wouldn't be surprised if somebody would call up Chicago or Washington or something, would call in to check in real quick and see, hey, what can we do? Like, what are you looking? But I wonder how realistic these offers would be. Would these be just get over offers that it don't make no sense for the Texans to make? Like, hey, Daniel Snyder, Kyle, we'll give you a second.
Yeah.
Like to me, I feel like it would be, you know, things where the Texans, like, now, I don't know that, like, I could see it being something if somebody gave a real legit, like, multiple first round picks. Maybe they had a young quarterback with it. But I feel it, find it hard that somebody gonna give a real offer, and I just think it'll be something where the Texans wouldn't even take it.
Well, here's what we know is that Deshaun Watson wanted out before, and to my knowledge, still wants out. The Texans didn't want to trade him originally. I think they were bluffing a little bit. But I think since then the game has changed for them. I think they do want to move Deshaun Watson and get rid of this dark cloud over the organization and just rebuild and get as much draft capital as they can in return. What he can do for an organization immediately, right, is something that I think the NFL across the board has given us no reason to believe that they wouldn't take that leap. And is there now the value, has it dropped into those teams that are in the lower third of the draft, first round of the draft? Is that possible? Yeah, man. I think the Texans are in a position that they would take less for him.
Yes. But not.
I think
not
he still wants less. Out. And I don't think the NFL or NFL franchises across the board think it's just crazy to make a move for him. Now, will they? I don't know. I doubt it very seriously. But I'm not from the jump, and I will not believe until I hear somebody that's in the know make the statement that those conversations ain't being had.
As I say, I tend to agree with you with the statement you said that it feels like the Texans, they seem like they're in a space where they're ready to move on from Deshaun as well. That wasn't always the case. But there's still some people holding out the thought, like, with everything that's happened, this may bring him closer here. This may open the door for him to come back here. My question would be to you, would it be a tell sign to you if the Texans would pick 67 in that third round, drafted a quarterback? To you, would that signal that from the Texans' perspective, they're done?
Yeah, no question.
If they drafted a quarterback, that even in the third round, that would signal it.
No question. There's no doubt about it that with Tyrod Taylor and Finley, what's Finley? Ryan Finley.
Ryan.
With those two guys on the roster right now, for the Texans to go out and then use their first pick in the draft this year,
their most premium pick,
to go get a quarterback. Yes, that would tell me that they're preparing for life long term without Deshaun Watson.
Because let's say it's Kellen Mond. I mean, he could still be a backup guy, but you think if they the significance of it being their top pick.
Yeah, there's just so many needs.
Because that would be a waste if you're still in your mind thinking we're going to keep.
So many needs. So I mean, there's so many needs across the board that would be a sign that they are, which I think they're done with Deshaun anyway. Before the allegations, I think they're done with each other. Yeah, I do.
Before the allegations,
I thought that was the case. But now I think the Texans are pretty openly showing you that they're not committed to Deshaun Watson. So I felt that way before. I definitely feel that way now. And if they were to draft a guy in the third round, that would not that he would be the guy, but that would tell me that you're trying to find the guy. You're trying to find the diamond in the rough with the best draft pick you have this year.
Yes.
I don't think it'll ever happen. I don't think the Texans drafting a quarterback in the third round makes any sense, and I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Well, speaking of that draft pick 67, as you said, you don't think quarterback would happen, and they have a lot of needs. Two of the major needs are corner and defensive line, defensive end, defensive tackle, defensive line. I want to propose this to you and the audience. 713-572-4610. You can text in, call in. You can jump in on this. If the Texans sit here at pick 67, they keep pick 67, and they have on the board a corner and let's say defensive lineman, defensive end, defensive tackle. They got a corner and a defensive lineman that are both on the board that they have similar grades on. Where should the Texans go? What position would you want the Texans to grab, the corner or the defensive lineman?
Defensive lineman. After what we watched last year, and I know it wasn't pretty anywhere on the defense in particular, but after what we watched last year, that was the worst run defense I've ever watched with my own eyes. It was the worst I've ever watched. And if you can't stop the run, and I'm not even talking about I'm not even talking about holding, you know, running backs under their average or under a certain yard, you know, total yardage, or I'm not talking about sacks and pressuring the quarterback in an above average way. I'm talking about just when you flip the TV on, there's an NFL game, and you expect to see guys getting paid good money to play a game, you expect to see a certain product, just an average baseline competitive product. That's what I'm talking about. And the Texans, they got a long way to go in a short time to get there. And if they can't stop the run, then they have no chance. They have no chance. I don't give a damn who the corner is. It doesn't matter who the cornerback is. It doesn't matter what round he was drafted in. It doesn't matter whether he's good in man, good in zone. It doesn't matter. If they can't stop the run, they don't have a chance. And they need desperate help inside, just providing Lovie Smith with guys to pick from, to have compete and say, hey, who's the best and who's going to start on this football team. Right now, I think they'd have a hard time finding four quality starters right now.
You think they got three quality starters at the cornerback position?
No. No, but you can hide corners. Like you can put a safety over the top of a corner, right? You can do things to protect a corner and survive. Now, it's not a good idea. It's not a good place to be in, but you can work with it. You can't work with no depth and no talent across the board at the D-line position. You can take your pick, whether it's stop the run or rush the passer, right? I mean, inside, outside, right? Backside, how do you attack the worst offensive lineman? If you got a really good team and the right guard is the duck and who are you going to do that with? You ain't got a guy to do that with, right? I mean, you can't. If you can't stop the run and if you can't run the football, it's like wanting a corner before a D lineman is like wanting a receiver before an offensive lineman. Like, I got to have my quarterback protected. Kansas City showed us last year. You can have all them weapons you want outside, but against a good defense and you don't have that offensive line to protect him, it's going to be problems, right? They got to answer the D line problem, depth and talent wise.
I know in Tyler's piece that he wrote up there on Sports Radio 610, and I talked to him this morning. He said he'd go D line too, right? You would go D line, and I'm seeing here.
Well, it's coachable. He listens.
Of course, he followed you. I mean, we're seeing on the text line D line, corner. No corner can cover indefinitely. You have to get pressure to be able to survive. And I get that. I'm telling you, and like we said, 713-572-4610, where are you at on this? 67. You got the Texans have the same grade at that third-round pick at pick 67 on a corner and a defensive lineman. They're both right there. They can draft either one. Which one would you go with? If you would have asked me this question 3 or 5 years ago, Clint, I would have agreed with both you and Tyler. I would have said D-line, got to get pressure on the quarterback. Not to just mention that because we heard from the great – John Harris, who you hear coming up behind us at Texans All Access, as we go off the air, say yesterday, man, this secondary, their corners had two interceptions last year. Two interceptions. J.J. Watt tied for the team lead in interceptions. They struggled turning the ball over in a major way. And the reason why I'm going to say corner is because one of the changes in the NFL the last several years is it seems like corner is the most difficult thing to find on the defensive side of the ball. Like, it to me, there was the significance of a great pass rusher and how hard it was to find great pass rushers. That was harder. Corner, finding a corner right now seems to be the toughest thing to do. And you know it. You watch it every Sunday where, hell, sometimes these coordinators and quarterbacks are able to take great pass rushers out of the game by quick throws, quick stuff. And you got – and to me right now, since this next season doesn't matter, I mean, you're not going anywhere.
Sure.
You know, God, let me – if I'm sitting right there, let me grab what's the toughest thing to find, and hopefully in the future I got somebody that is at least a dependable, solid corner. That's why I think either way is good. I saw someone on the text line say something ridiculous. Right, ridiculous. Say that either one of us were outlandish. One of us with our thought of corner or defensive lineman. Both of them need help. And both of them are majorly important. So if you're on the side of either one of them, it's not outlandish. That's just silly. But I just think of myself, does this season matter? Let me go and get the toughest thing there is to find.
Yeah, look, we're splitting hairs in a sense of I think either would be – either one of those positions, if the Texans draft them – that position in that late early third, then I'm stoked. Hell, if they draft both positions back to back in the third and the fourth, I'd be stoked. I mean, yeah. Regardless
kinda
of which order
it's up that they do.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think when you start talking about a rebuild and you're going to take a swing in the third round, right? It's not a lock. It's not a for sure because you're in the third round. I mean, there's obviously some risk there, but if you do take a corner, you hope that you at the very least create some depth across the board in your secondary and you create a guy, depth and talent on your special teams immediately, right? You can't do that if you're drafting DNs and D tackles. Those guys aren't going to contribute in the same way that a safety or a corner or a running back or a tight end can contribute on special teams. So there's an argument to be made that the corner – or the defensive back is the better way to go as well. I totally get that. I think we're splitting hairs. I would personally like to see it be a defensive lineman because I think you need multiple players at that position across the board.
And at both positions, D-line and in the secondary, specifically corner, just like a lot of the roster, you don't have any guys there long-term. Like, you don't have any long-term guys. Like, everybody's on 1 or 2 year deals. So you would like to have some young guys at those positions where you feel pretty good about it. Fletcher, let's go to you. Fletcher, what's your thoughts? Pick 67. If they got a similar grade on a corner and a defensive lineman, which way are you going?
Well, I'm just going D-line because I think that a solid D-line, to me, can help a defensive backfield a lot more than a solid defensive backfield can help a D line, if that makes sense.
And then, just
on a side note, I loved all of y'all's ceiling picks on these quarterbacks, and I know that the Texans had. Well, Texans didn't have any shot at any of those quarterbacks, but what is the ceiling for Lawrence? We all know that he's supposed to be great. He's the number one pick. He seems like a prototypical guy. But he's built kind of like Peyton Manning, but, you know, Peyton Manning was a coach on the field. And I don't know that Lawrence will be that, but what is the ceiling on him? Anyway, appreciate you guys.
Thank you. If you missed it.
I think it would – I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you.
I was going to say, if you missed it, we did – Clint gave what he felt were reasonable ceilings on these quarterbacks. If everything was aligned right, reasonable ceilings on these quarterbacks.
Yeah, look, I think he would fall between a couple of guys. It's hard to find a comp because, look, let's be honest, there's not very many 6'6 guys that can run and move the way that he's moved and people expect him to move at the next level. So if I had to pick one guy, I would go with Matt Ryan there as well. I think you're talking about a big, tall drink of water that moves, that can navigate the pocket well, that can already – literally, what's so impressive about Trevor Lawrence is he effortlessly can make every throw on the field. And I'm not talking about the deep throws. I'm talking about the 18-yard dig route, which is 18 yards and coming in the middle of the field. You want to throw that against cover two where you got a high safety and you got a linebacker bailing underneath. So there's a window where you got to get over the safety, over the linebacker and down in front of the safety. There's a certain type of passer of the football that does it at a really high level. The NFL requires that. And that's why the jury's still out on a lot of guys. But Trevor Lawrence does that at a really, really high level. You talk about anticipating, layering the football, timing, on schedule, with accuracy, tying your eyes to your feet. All of that quarterback speak is real talk. And Trevor has that naturally. Like, he was born with the ability to do those things. If I had to pigeonhole him to one player, I think in all fairness, it would have to be Matt Ryan. We're talking about an MVP player that's been to a Super Bowl. I wouldn't want to place it on a guy like Peyton Manning. That's my number one quarterback of all time in a sense of what he brought to the game and how he played the game.
And he's more athletic than Peyton. And
yeah.
Then Peyton
yeah,
has
yeah.
a lot of other things that he's better
at. If I had to show, I would like to put Andrew Luck and Matt Ryan together. He's Matt Ryan arm style, and I think he's going to play the game that way. But there is a chance that his athletic ability is going to allow him to do some of the things.
A little bit more.
Even though I think it's ill-advised, because there's a reason why Andrew Luck is not in the game any longer, right? That athletic ability ended up being one of his
downfalls,
right? And so, you know, I would go with Matt Ryan to be fair, and I do think it's an accurate. I think it's an accurate comp.
I saw someone say Joe Flacco on steroids.
Flacco's not bad. Flacco don't get look. I don't.
He's got a. I don't know if he's got an arm as big as a down the field arm like Joe Flacco.
Jack, he can rip it now.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco's not a bad one. No, I'm on steroids. I'm a lot higher on Joe Flacco than most people. Now his window was small. You know, I mean, he didn't play at the top of his game at his ceiling or above his ceiling. For a long period of time, but he was damn good for a short period of time and won a Super Bowl with it.
Yordan Alvarez out is on health and safety protocols, and so, of course, Los Correa is batting six tonight because he's moving down in the order with Alvarez going out. That makes sense. Does not to me. Texans All Access coming up behind us. The Voice, Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. Great job today, Tyler. Great job, Clint, as always. I am Ron, the show, Hughley. And Houston, we love you, baby. A
lovely day. Give me a cooler light and jump off in this pool.